Well, turn with me to Acts chapter 8. You probably know this story well. It's one of my favorite because it really just speaks of missions, of being somewhere and being available. It's just a great text, and I'm going to walk you through it, give you a few pointers, and we're going to call it the stamp in your passport. So, you know, you ever notice this? Anyone ever traveled out of the country? You know, pretty fun. You get to go on a plane, sit for many hours. You get somewhere, then you stand in line because everyone has to fight to get out of the plane, which everyone's going to go out. There's only one hole in the plane. You ever notice that? There's no other fast way to get out. You can't go out the side door, you know, push the magic button. So, but you run out, you go in the hallway, you can't find nothing. Everything's written in different languages, but there's signs that says go this way, and you stand there, and you think they're going to come get you, and, you know, you got to fill out forms, you know what you're filling out, and then you go through, and then they give that passport, you get your passport, they look at it, and you get that stamp on there. My wife was so mad one time they didn't stamp her. She goes, I want that stamp. You know, she was wanting that stamp really bad. But I'm going to give you five stamps on your passport for missions. Amen? So Acts chapter 8, it's a great story because, for one, it talks about movement. It talks about God's voice. It talks about how we do things. But I want you to catch this in verse 26. It says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Gaza, or from Jerusalem to Gaza. And then I love this part. It says, this is desert. Just in case you did not know, a lot of times in the Bible, it's in the desert already. We kind of know that. When you tell me it's in the desert, it must really be the desert. You know, there's no chance. There's no oasis there. It's hot stuff. And I grew up in California, the desert. I remember being out there thinking, you could see everything from far away. You know what I'm saying? Up here, you can't see too much. But in the desert, man, you're seeing like light years ahead of you. You're like, oh, man, there's something coming. I think it's a mountain starting. I don't know what's going on. And so he is told to go there and just wait. I love this. In verse 27, so he arose and went. And so I imagine this just sitting on a road, kind of overlooking something. He's just sitting there going, Lord, you've called me the desert. Did I mention it's a desert? It's hot, right? You know, there's no, he doesn't have a slushie with him or, you know, a little AC unit. He's just sitting there sweating. And I can identify because we all did that just, you know, a few weeks ago. And he's sitting there, and the Lord says, just wait. He's going, man, I don't know what's going on, but I hope it happens soon. And all of a sudden, it says, behold, a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, I love this because this guy had came, he was worshiping. And verse 28 says, he was returning, sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, back then, when they would read very loud. Like, we like to read quietly. We'll be in our quiet place of the house reading, or you'll be at Starbucks and stuff. You don't usually just, thus says the Lord, start reading, you know, loudly that you can overhear this. But that's how they did it back then. So he sees him returning and reading this. And then verse 29 says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. Now, I'm not a very fast runner, as you could tell. I can run the kitchen, you know. I could run to places like that, short-term stuff. You know, I got to bring oxygen or something if I have to go real far. But if someone told me to go run and catch something, I would say, you know, there's got to be someone else in way better shape. But then to say to go near and overtake a chariot, a moving chariot, this horse is pulling this stuff, you know? And if you ever been down the road and someone comes after you, you might not think that's a good thing. Like someone's trying to rob me or whatever else. We know that he had military, you know, equivalents around because he was the treasurer. So we know that wasn't just like he just walked up there. So the angel says, go near and overtake this chariot. And I love how we don't hear anything about, I don't know, let me think about it, someone else, that kind of thing. Look at verse 30. So Philip ran to him, and he runs up, and he hears him reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, how many, it's more of a guy thing, so women just kind of tune out for a second, because they're not listening, guys, so listen to this. Guys, when you're doing something, and they ask you, what are you doing, and you're kind of struggling sometimes, do you really want to say, I'm kind of struggling right now, I'm not really got this together, and you know, no, I got this under control, man. I know I'm not lost. I'm just driving in circles because it's fun, you know. And we never want to admit this stuff. We're just like, yeah, I'm just in a different place right now. I don't want to be there on time. That's not cool, you know. And of course I want to rebuild this wall three times and paint it twice. And, you know, I want to burn the house down with electrical. Yeah, so no one likes to admit that we don't know what we're doing, right? So here's this guy runs up to him and says, hey, do you know what you're doing is what he's really saying. And that takes guts. That takes knowing that God is behind you, because that guy could be really in a major world of pain. This guy's in a bad way, right? So he runs up and he says this to him, and here's the guy's answer. How can I unless someone guides me? You know, all the years of ministry, no one ever walked into the church and said, hey, I got this all figured out. I just read this book yesterday, mastered it. I'm here to teach it to you, just in case you didn't want to, you know. I got this all figured out. Most of us are still trying to figure things out, right? We're still reading, going, whoa, I missed out, you know, last 20, 12 years reading that stuff. We are always growing, right? That's why we have classes, right? All your children are being taught. Your children didn't come out of diapers and say, let me tell you about the dissipation, you know, They're being taught. As adults, we're being taught. We're always teaching and learning, and then we learn some, and then we go and teach it to someone else because that's how we learn, right? We learn by teaching others, right? So we are in a place we like to learn, or we should be. So this guy says, this guy is the smartest guy in town because you know what he says? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what this means. Of course, it's Isaiah, it's Old Testament. I get that. It's kind of hard to figure out. And then in verse 34, Philip, in verse 35, he opens his mouth and the beginning of the scripture preached Jesus to him. How many of you have been asked about Christ and you just don't know where to start at? You're like, pause a moment. Let me open my Bible. Let me call somebody. Let me get my tablet out. Let me flip out a book. You don't know what to say, do you? But the Holy Spirit knows what to tell you, right? And you're able to say and do as you need to, and you're able to communicate. And when you ever notice that when you're sharing Christ with someone, you're like going, who is this person speaking? Because it can't be me. Because God's using people, right? All you got to do is what? Tune into him and shut your mouth and let him speak through it. So we see this where he begins to read all this to him. In verse 36, and they went down the road and they came to water. And the eunuch says, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? I love that because that means he talked about Jesus. There was some sort of an understanding of Jesus. And now he's saying, I'm ready to go to the next level. I'm ready to get baptized. Now, most of us don't carry around portable baptism tanks, right? It's kind of hard, you know, doing the thing. I remember I was here, as Pastor Steve said, years ago. We used to have to do baptisms in a different, we had a little small tank. And used to teach the class. And so I remember people asking questions about, oh, this is awesome. But it was the most glorious day to baptize people. And I can imagine Philip saying, yeah, this guy's getting baptized. He is already. But the eunuch says simply this, what hinders me from being baptized? Can I ask you this question about missions? What stops you from going on mission trips? As Dan talked about how he talked himself out of it, most of you have talked yourself out of things because I believe there's a few reasons why, and I have a few pulled up here. We could get those. What are some things that stop us from going on mission trips? One is money. Most of these people weren't just throwing money around. They're not related to Bill Gates. And when they went to the meeting to talk about the trip, I said, here's what we're going to do. I shared the vision. And then when they were saying, yeah, I want to go, I said, here's the cost. And it was like over $2,000. That's a lot of money. And most of them said, you know what, I got to pray about this. And they prayed, and God started opening doors and started moving through. But you know what? Money was the biggest thing for them. The second thing is language barriers, hard to talk. You know, how do you talk to people you don't know? And time to go, and the different foods, and you have to travel. Safety is a big one. You're going to a dangerous place. It is not, you are not going to camp. You're going to a place that, you know, requires extra security. We pay for the security for all that. We do lots of different things to make it safe for you, but safety is a big one. Temperature differences, animals, bugs, all these things I'll go to in a second. Changes in plans. Mission trips are all about that. Long day. These are reasons why you should not go. And you can say, oh, Pastor Greg said I don't have to go. I'm off the hook. The good thing is you're not listening to me. We're listening to God. What would God say? We hit the next slide if we could. God would simply say this, money, he provides it, right? It's his money. Why not? Language barriers. We know that he's going to, you know, allow us to learn a new language. Time to go. We know about that, obviously. Different food. Hey, I love the food down there. Tell you what, breakfast time. We ate at 8 o'clock. We had devotion at 7:30. 5:30 in the morning, I'm out there with my fork and my knife. Say, let's go. It's time to eat. Come on, you know. What can I do? I love that. It was great. You know, traveling to see new places. Safety, as I said before. We stay in a place that's actually an old Army base. The guy that runs it used to be a colonel. Actually, we found this out. He was a very short-term president of the country. He's the president of the country. Okay, I got some safety going on there, right? We pull some springs. You don't have, you know, Obama showing up protecting us down there. So I got the president of Guatemala helping us out there. We got some strings pulling for you. So this guy is super safe. And this hostel is very safe. Our driver is very safe. We look out for all the components to make it safe so we can bring you all back. You see 10 people over there? Okay, one's missing, but they were here. I brought them to the airport. When I get in the airport, I don't know what happens at that point, but we brought them all back. So you want to do that. Okay, temperature, I'm not going to lie, it's hot. There's nothing I can do about that. Next one, animals. Okay, there's some creepy little things down there. I'm an exterminator. I am trained to kill all things with more than two legs. There's some creepy stuff down there, I'm telling you what. And so we make sure that you don't get any kind of infectious disease or bites from an insect. Also, change of plans is going to happen. You got to get ready for that. Last thing is, it's long days, but you sleep really good. So those are things that might hinder you from going that next step. But God says, you know what? I got you covered. I got that. So when we read that, you know, the eunuch says, hey, what do I do now? Philip could have said, you are not ready. Boy, we just got to go back to the class on this one, and we got to do different things. But Philip, look at verse 37. He says, if you believe with all your heart. You know, as Christians, we fight two things, our heads and our heart. We see something, but then we say, oh, that can't happen. That can't happen. And then boom. It's like, remember the first time you fell in love? You're like, man, that person. Like, I looked at my wife and I said, man, she's hot. She's awesome. But I thought, she ain't going to go out with me. So I had to bribe her. I had to buy her a car. It's a long story, but it really is. She actually proposed to me, but it's a whole, she lies about it for years. But, you know, I thought, man, she's awesome. She's never going to go out with me. Because my head said, man, are you kidding? Look at you. But she felt sorry for me. So it works out. But you don't talk about when you believe in your heart with something. When I first started driving cars, I drove the ugliest cars you ever saw. They had all kinds of primer. There was not one piece of primer, but my dash was painted. There's an old Volkswagen van. I'd wax that dash. My friends get my car, don't touch my dash. Because this car is in mint condition. It just hasn't happened yet. Because I saw it in my, what? I saw it in my heart. My friend said, I need a tetanus shot to ride in this thing. When you go down the street and you see a need, what do you see? With your heart or with your head? You say, oh, those people, that whatever problem, you know. I used to use the word kingdom eyes a lot. We got to look at things with kingdom eyes, with God's eyes. And Philip says simply this, if you believe with your heart, he doesn't say anything about the challenges this guy has to go through. He said, if you believe with your heart, you can get baptized. What he says is, if you believe with your heart, you can go to the next level. I believe if you want to go to the mission field and you believe it with your heart, you can go. You heard from the youngest person to the much older person in the group, which I think I'm almost in that range in there somewhere, which is really scary. But I tell you what, they all worked great. Not one of them wavered in any way. Not one of them said, I can't do this because of this or that. There was no limitations. We just worked together as a team, and we came back changed. I believe you can too. I love this. Verse 38, it says, he commanded and the chariot to stand still. Sometimes we got to stop. And he says, we got to get down. And he took care of business, and he baptized him right there. And I love this because after this, Philip gets raptured away. Just boom, it says he's caught away and gone. And we don't see him for quite a while. He pops back in later on in Acts, and good stuff's happening. I want to share with you briefly what I'm calling the five stamps to your passport on how you can be on the mission field. And maybe you're saying, oh man, I can't go on the mission field. I believe you can. I also believe if for the reasons you can't go, but that you could also be a part of the prayer team or the support team. But somehow you can be involved in what's happening. And then you get to celebrate what God is doing. Just as you, as a church, gathered up the 14, those water filters. When you see the pictures, you're saying, I was a part of that. That little 90-degree coupling that we put on the pipe, that was you. The filter that we put together, that was you. The encounters we had, that was you. So the first thing I have is, you need to be available to hear God's voice, to know what he's saying. How many of you hear something but you don't understand it? That's what my wife tells me all the time. She goes, you're not listening to me. I'm like, of course I am, as I'm changing the channel, you know. We need to be able to not just hear, but listen. What is God saying to you? Is he talking to you? Is he telling you things? And we see where he goes and he sits by the desert to wait. But the second part we see here is to be able to move when God directs. I know in my life it's always been hard to move. When we left here at Abundant Life, like in 98, I think it was, to go to Ohio, I was like, what? I've been to Ohio once. I flew in there. It was hot too. And I loved the people. They were awesome people. But it wasn't the Northwest. And I remember thinking, man, this is rough living in the Midwest because, you know, everything's very traditional. I'm used to changes and stuff. But we were able to go. And then we came back to this part, the church is opening up. There was no churches in this area opened up. And they said, hey, we got a church in Vancouver. What do you think about that? And I says, yes, I'm close to home. But God told us to go. And we had an awesome time there. Third thing is, you need to be able to be a vessel to do his will, not yours. This is a tough one in the mission field. You go there with an agenda, and you're going to be in trouble because there's no agenda for us as individuals. It's only a collective team. You're having to deal with personalities that you may not understand on the road, but it blends, it works great, but we're there to do one function, and that's a tough one sometimes. The fourth thing is, be ready to jump in. You know, when the Ethiopian said, yep, what kept me from being baptized? Once the answer was written up and said nothing but your heart, he just jumped right in. Baptism took place. And then we see, be ready to leave again. You see, Philip didn't sit there and say, well, my job is done. I'm going to just sit right here because I'm in a cool place finally in the water, right? He could have stayed there all day. Could have set up a little coffee shop and, you know, hey, stop by sometime. But what did he do? He was gone like that because God had a reason for him to go somewhere else. Sometimes in our faith life, we get these monumental places. We find our own little Mount Transfigurations and we say, God did something great here, so I'm going to stick around for about 10 or 15 years here. Doesn't really work out too good, does it? We think it's great, and then later on we start getting stagnant, and we miss things, and we... So I'm just telling you, if God's doing something in your life, be ready to move to the next level. Don't just sit around. I want to tell you one quick story of our driver, and you can pull him up here. His name is Anhil, which means angel, which is a great name if you're driving. I told him this. He should market this thing all day long. Being driven by an angel in Guatemala is a good thing. So he's a little young guy, probably I think his mid-20s, married, two kids. He drives, we call the Bumblebee. It's a yellow bus with a black stripe through it, kind of like the A-team, but not quite so much. And he drove us around, and he was great because he couldn't speak English, so we would talk to him, and he'd say yes, yes to everything. We thought, man, he's tracking. This guy is really with us. Yeah, he knew one word, yes. But he did know some other words, and we talked, and it was really great to see him because he was all happy and stuff, And we knew he was Catholic because of the markings on the vehicle. And if you're in that part of the country, if you're Catholic, you shouldn't be going to other churches because it's kind of considered not cool. And so we had him drive us to a church on Thursday. We were speaking there, and Dan started the service off. Then I spoke for a little bit as well, and the team prayed for people. And he just sat in the back, and afterwards he says, you know, I really liked your presentation. I said, well, thank you. What really touched you? And he just gave me a few things we talked about. I said, well, thank you. And I just talked a little bit. And I knew I just couldn't, you know, just go off on it right there. I'm thinking, I got this guy for a whole week. He's going to have all kinds of stuff going on. So he saw us working in the hottest place in the world. I mean, I'm talking a place that's so hot. I don't think they have thermometers. I think they're melting, you know. I think they just looked out there and said, you know what, it's whatever. Just deal with it. And so he drove in all that, and he sat in the shade, and we're just pouring down sweat. We drank so much water that we took the bags and we got them. We didn't even drink them. We just put them on our heads and just try to cool off a little bit. And we were doing that. And, you know, we were eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch. And, yeah, we eat really well on the trip. So I got to forget to mention that. Lunch isn't so great. But And he just spent time with us, and he watched us. And he watched us go through tribulations where we could have said, man, I don't like you no more. You know, you're this and that. And he just watched us deal with each other. And what's the funny part was, the last day, we got back to the hostel, and we gave him, we took an offering to give him, because he's getting paid, obviously, too. We gave him an offering. And then we gave him a Bible that we all signed or wrote something in there. And then we gave him a little medallion thing to carry around. And then we said, can we pray for you? He said, yeah. So we prayed for him. So we all circle around him, oof, you know, late at night. We lay hands on this guy and we pray for him. And we get done. He's just crying. So then we do what we, all Christians do, right? You hug him, right? Let's make you feel worse. Here's 10 people going to hug you to death. You're crying all over the place. And, you know, can't understand what you're saying. He's like, yes, yes. So we pray for this guy, hug him, put him in his little car, send him down the road. So then the host pastor, his son was with us all the time except for this one day. And so he called me. He goes, how was today? I said, well, this and this happened. He goes, okay. He goes, well, how's Anil? Because I called him and I asked him how the day went. And he said, okay. And usually he gives more definition than that. And then he said, yeah, he's kind of quiet. I says, well, we prayed for him. He goes, oh, that's why. He goes, because when I asked him, I kept pushing him. He says, I'm going to really miss those guys. And I'm thinking, like, miss us like, what, like a hole in the head? I mean, because, you know, 10 gringos driving around, you know, in a place like that is just way too much fun. And so he said, yeah, he's going to really miss you guys. And he said that when he prayed for, when you guys prayed for him, that he felt something he never felt before. And that he wanted more of that. And I remember our conversation on the way there because we asked him where he likes to eat. What's his favorite place to eat? He said, Pizza Hut. I said, what's your second place you'd like to eat? And so when we got back, we had some pizza left over. I said, hey, I got some pizza. You can have this. And he looked at me kind of funny, like, whoa, pizza. And then he finally goes, what am I going to do with it? I says, well, in the States, we eat pizza. I said, but he goes, I'm full because we actually fed him lunch. I said, do you have kids? He goes, yeah. I go, kids like pizza too. And he goes, it's funny because he goes, you're a great mentor. I says, yeah, when it comes to eating pizza, I got that one figured out. I'm writing books about it, teaching classes, you know. It was part of being a youth pastor, you know, you had to eat pizza and consume it and buy it. But I realized what he was saying was, you guys were helping me be something I want to be. If all that trip, of all that work and all the long hours and sitting in the plane for a whole day, oh man, that's good times, right? You're scrunched between two people looking this way. Your bubble got busted when you got on a plane, let alone, you know, the whole time. Flying down there, sleeping out, you know, in hard temperatures, driving 4 to 5 hours a day, all that. If all that was for Anil to come to Christ, we say it's worth it, don't you?
Amen.
Don't you? So my question to you is this. Are you willing to go meet some Anhills? Are you willing to go and, like I said, it's work. But the benefits way far outweigh. You talk to these people when they're over there. Did I mention there's coffee over there? Guatemalan coffee? Level one. You can't get that nowhere else. Don't tell anybody. I'm serious. We'll get in trouble. The SEC will come in and get us. The federal government. It's like a Cuban cigar or something. I don't know what's going on, but don't tell anybody. Yeah, it's legal. But drink it, though, because it's not going to be there. But talk to them. Ask them questions. What did you learn? Tell me what will break my heart. And the next time you hear about a trip coming up, yeah, I want to go on that. I want to find out what's happened. I want to make a difference. Because what they learned isn't what they did down there. Here's what the fun part. I forgot to tell them about this. It's what's going to happen from here out. They're going to be contagious. I'd watch out for these guys. If you got plumbing problems, they're going to come fix it. Do all the stuff, cutting things. We don't know what we're doing. Because they tasted it. They said, what hinders me? And they jumped off the chariot in the water. I want to pray with you. And I'm going to ask you this. If you are feeling like, you know, I just really want to go, but I got all those other reasons. And I'm going to say, what hinders you? And you're going to say, I don't know, because you just busted my bubble. You took all my reasons away. Then I'm going to agree in prayer with you right now that God will open that door for the next trip coming up. We're going to have to rent our own plane, I guess, because I believe God is going to get a lot of people excited what's going on. Pastor's vision is 25% of the church to go on a mission trip. Look around. That's like, if you see four people, one of you wants to go. Why is that? Because he knows how it's going to change your life. And I'm excited about that. That's a huge vision. It scares me. But I know if God is going to inspire it, he's going to provide it. Let's pray. Father, Lord, help us to ask what would hinder us. Allow us to stop the chariot that we're in of life right now. Allow us to just put a brief pause on what's going around us to say, what would allow me to get in that water? What would allow me to take that next step? And Lord, whatever that is that you will, Lord, show me as you did Philip in the desert of where to go and what to do and how to do it. Lord, we know that everyone just can't go. We understand that, Lord. But there's time and seasons and appointments, just as Philip had, of ministry. Whether we go physically, whether we pray, whether we send, however we are involved, Lord, that we will own a part of this world missions that you are talking about. So if that's you, and this is the time to say, you know, I just want to take a step of faith. I want to just get a little crazy here. And I just don't even want to think about the reasons why not, but think about the reason why. I just want to pray with you right now. Just simply raise your hand. Say, Lord, if it's your will, send me. Whatever would be there to stop me, allow me not to see that, but to hear your voice. Allow me to get out of the chariot and into that water. If I raise your hand, you're saying, I believe while I can't see, because I'm going to use my heart, not my head. And I'm going to allow the love the Lord has put on my heart right now to say, Lord, I want to go. So, Father, I pray for those hands that are raised right now. We agree in prayer together, Lord, that they would want to go. Now, Lord, just show them. And so, Lord, we thank you. And we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.